This is Steve Coleman with the Daily Inspiration. God bless you once again for joining us here at the Fountain of Life. I'm looking now at John chapter 19, and there's much that could be mined out of the preceding couple of chapters. But there's something in here that that just thrills me and challenges me, and I'd like to share on this subject. And it's in John chapter 19, and it's in verse 38. And what we have is that Jesus has been crucified. He has gone to the garden. We visited the garden previously in another Daily Inspiration. And you know, Christ has said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And the result of that, in the case of the Son of God, when he surrendered to the Lordship, to the will of the Father, that, you know, we even pray that prayer, "Thy will be done." And in that case, it led down a trail or up a trail that led to Calvary, and it led to a cross, and Jesus was nailed to the cross. And, you know, no man took his life. He gave his life. He gave it as a ransom. He gave it in joy because it was in the will of God to give away his life that others might be saved, that others might have a choice or a chance of one with God. And the whole story of the crucifixion, as we look at it, it was a story of the magnificent power and the magnificent control that Christ had of himself, you know. And he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Beloved, consider that no one ever dwelt on this earth, not one person ever dwelt on this earth that did not deserve to be crucified. But the one that we notice that was crucified was the one who didn't deserve it, and that was Jesus Christ. But he did it for you and he did it for me. And now we have this. And, you know, and we have the soldiers, and they didn't even need to come and break his legs. It says they didn't break his legs because, you know, he was already dead there. Normally, the crucifixion, the person, they so struggle to stay alive. They're standing on a little, it's a ledge that's angled downward. And the breath goes out of their bodies, they involuntarily stand up and take a breath. And it takes days for them to die. It's got to be a gruesome amount of torture where, you know, they're just dying and dying. But Christ had surrendered, you know. He had already said, "Lord, if this is what you have for me, then, you know, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And so there it is. He gave up his life. He said, "It is finished." And so when the soldiers came, they didn't want these people on the cross during the religious festival. And this is the kind of a statement about religion, you know, the religious festival is going on and this would spoil their festival. So they were going to go out and break the legs, which is that merciful? I don't know, but it prevents the person from standing up. So shortly after they break the legs, then the person can't stand up any longer. And so they simply asphyxiate and die. And so here's Christ. And the soldiers came up to him, and they went to break his legs, and why, he was already dead. And that's when they poked a spear into him to make sure, and out came blood and water. And we have soldiers saying, "Surely this was the Son of God. This no man could have given up his life. This is only the Son of God." You see, that's what was said here. But I want you to notice here in verse 38, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus. Oh, beloved, what a blessed thing to be a disciple. A disciple is a learner. A disciple, and, you know, I believe, I am convinced that we need to be lifelong disciples of Christ. We must be learners. It is at the point that we cease to learn that we begin to get into danger. Because what happens is, once we can no longer learn, once we have all the answers, then we no longer listen to the concerns. And so no longer then is the body of Christ watching out for us. But we say, no, we know better than the body of Christ, the people around us that love us and that the Spirit of God has spoke to, and they've been inspired to pray for us, and then they've come to us and they've said, you know, brother or sister, I just have a concern. I love how considerate you are and all these things, and you know, it would probably sound a lot like Christ, you know. I know thee and these things you do, and keep those things and improve on them even. But this one thing I have, you know. And, beloved, once we get to the point where we're no longer disciples, we no longer have that great protection. But so here we have someone that was a disciple of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea. And we believe that this was a rich man. We believe he was a counselor. He was one of the upper crust in the Jewish society. This is a man that had a lot to lose, right? This is a man that was very successful in this world. And so daily inspiration from several days ago, I talked about the difference between the world and the word, right? Well, this was a man of the world who was becoming a man of the word. And so we have Joseph of Arimathea, and it says, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Now, what struck me there in looking at that is, who is a secret disciple? And, beloved, is that what we are? Are we secret disciples? We want to know a lot about Christ. We just want to know about Jesus. We love him, you know, and we want to know more good things. We want to see what a good man he was, what a great God we serve. You know, we're a disciple, but no, I don't want you to know that I serve Jesus, you know. I don't want you to be able to look at me and recognize that, oh, man, look at that guy. Why does he wear a button-down shirt all the time, you know? Why doesn't he loosen, lighten up and, you know, put on a pair of shorts? I don't know. I don't know what it is, beloved, but, you know, why is it that a person, and here's the question, do we want to be the kind of people that are secret disciples? Well, here's Joseph of Arimathea, and maybe this is exactly where a lot of people are at, and maybe this is where you're at today. So, well, God bless you if it is. I want you to consider what we're looking at here. Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple, but secretly, and why? For fear of the Jews. You see, he was afraid that the religious system would reject him. And, beloved, when we come to the place where we are true disciples of Christ, and you know what? Believe it or not, there is some rejection from the religious system. But let us not trade off the comfort zone of the religious system, and that's what we take, and how low we've traded. Because what we could have had was the comfort zone of knowing and walking with God, right? And so here's Joseph of Arimathea, and based on the testimony of Christ on the cross, you better believe that he watched Christ, and he watched him give up his life for others, okay? And when he watched Jesus give up his life for others, it says he besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Now, beloved, people that are crucified on the cross are crucified in this Roman system. It is a cross of shame. It is supposed to not only shame the person, but all of their family and all of their relatives and everyone that ever knew them. They're all supposed to be associated shame and all of that. And no one wants to claim that they know such a person. That's why it was so unusual for his mother to be standing there. And he said to John, he said, behold thy mother, you know, behold thy son, right? They were willing to be associated while Christ was going through that crucifixion and while the shame was falling upon him. And they were willing. And so in a sense, beloved, they endured as well with him. They stood by. And in a sense, they were no secret disciples, right? People knew that this one here, Jesus had singled him out and said, here, you be the son of this woman, and this woman, he said, you be the mother. And so they were singled out, you know. They were not secret disciples. But now, I believe that in many cases, the soldiers had to come, take the bodies off, and pitch them over the hill. And they just sat in a heap, in a pile. And that's because people were ashamed to be associated. Who would ever want to claim a body of someone that had been crucified? And here we have Joseph of Arimathea. This must have been, I don't think it was, though. It could have been a puzzlement to Pilate, but I don't believe it was a puzzlement to Pilate, because Pilate knew. He had said already, I see no cause of death in this man. This man is a righteous man. He knew it. And so he gave him leave. He said, yeah, you take that body. And he came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus. We remembered Nicodemus. He, again, was a secret disciple. He came to Jesus by night with real serious questions, but he did it at night so that he wouldn't be seen, right? And which at the first came to Jesus by night, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Now, beloved, consider that. Consider how big a sack of scent that is. And I want you to think about how these two men took and they buried the body of Jesus. They wound him in the grave cloths, you know, and they put in the spices as the manner of the Jews were. They weren't just dealing with a handful. And I suppose there's a possibility that for a common person, they probably could only afford a handful of this. But these two men, they were, you know, on the Sanhedrin, or they were on, I don't know, they were important men anyways. They certainly had the money, and they certainly had the resources. And what they did was they gave their lives to Christ. And here it is, honoring the dead body of the Lord that had come and dwelt on this earth. And they wound him up. And just imagine 100 pounds. I want you to think about that, a big sack of feet, 100 pounds. Think about how much Jesus may not have weighed a lot more than 100 pounds. You know, this may have been nearly double the bulk of Christ to wind this all into this. And I'm going to say this, and this I am convinced of as I read this passage. I am convinced that when Joseph of Arimathea and when Nicodemus were done, they smelled the same as Christ. They had the fragrance of, and believe me, it's a fragrance. It's a glorious, sweet-smelling savor to be associated with Christ. And so here they are now, and so everybody is going to know. As they walk down the street, they are no longer, beloved, they are no longer secret disciples. And so, beloved, are you a secret disciple? Is that where you are today? Are you hiding out? Are you in a closet? I think I love Jesus, but I don't know. Beloved, it's time to take a positive step. It's time to become like Joseph and like Nicodemus, and to become a true known disciple of Jesus Christ, right? And to declare that I love this Lord. I love the Lord with all of my heart and mind and soul and strength. My back is turned to the world. I'll never go back, and I'm going to press on and go forward in the kingdom of God. And that's where Joseph and Nicodemus were. And they laid Jesus to rest in the sepulcher right there. And so I just encourage you. I pray that if you have been a secret disciple, been one that's not wanted to declare your affiliation with Christ, now is the day and time. Now is the time to come and to be a known, a declared disciple of Jesus Christ.